Hallelujah. Let's lift we our know hands. That He is able. We've seen Him do it before. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. I love the presence, the peace, the power that I feel here this morning. And I believe that God desires to do something greater. Greater. And sometimes we're always looking at Him saying, would you just do something? And He's saying, I'm trying. Would you just respond? So this morning, I would encourage you that as the Lord speaks to you, that you respond as He asks you to. Praise God. Before we go, I'm just going to say a prayer over this. I believe that the Lord is here. I believe He's already moving. He's already ministering, and He wants to continue. And let's just pray that prayer that opens our heart and our mind to receive from Him. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your sweet, sweet presence that is here. I thank You that You have brought us all here together this morning. I thank You for who You are. I thank You for what You have done. God, may we never forget all that You have done for each and every one of us. May we never forget that You are in charge, that You are sovereign, that You are on the throne. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're looking at, You are here and You desire to work. And God, I pray that Your anointing and Your spirit would just flow through this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever asked the question, why? Why is this happening? Why do I have to do this? Why, God? Why? There's a man named Habakkuk in the Bible, and he was a man who saw what we were just singing about. He saw a time when the land was full and filled and overflowing with revival. And then we meet him in the book of Habakkuk in the Bible, and now he's in a time when there's a spiritual drought. There's a spiritual decline. You see, we have to be careful because sometimes we can walk in the Spirit, we can walk in the presence, and we can take it for granted. And we can dismiss it. And we can lose it because we step away. Not because He stepped away, but because we step away. And this is what is happening in the nation. They've stepped away, they're in decline. And here He is, and He opens up the chapter in verse 2 of chapter 1. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and You will not hear, even cry out to You violence, and You will not save? Why do You show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arising. Where are You, God? There is trouble everywhere. This is the cry of Habakkuk's heart. Where are You, God? Don't You see where Your people have fallen to? Where are You? I'm crying out to You. Where are You? Do You hear me? This is kind of a Q&A. That's what this book is about. Habakkuk reaches out. He cries out to God. And then the Lord replies. And so here's the Lord's answer in verse 5. He says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. So here's the Lord. He's saying, okay, I hear you, Habakkuk, and here's my answer. I'm going to send a terrible and dreadful people to get the attention of my people. He will get our attention one way or the other. Verse 12, Habakkuk talks back to the Lord and he says, Lord, You have appointed. Actually, let's start at the beginning. Are You not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, You have marked them for correction. You are purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do You look on those who deal treacherously? So here on one hand, he's saying, Lord, will You just do something about these people? And the Lord says, I'm going to do something about these people. And then he says, why are You sending those people to correct these people? Like, what are You doing? Why would You do that? It's just this back and forth where he's having a conversation with God. I've heard some people who are like, you know what? I just can't question God. But we do. We can question him all we want, but it doesn't change that he's in charge. He's in charge. Sometimes we say that God is in control, and I'm trying to break myself of that habit because I have a responsibility to respond to him. I need to recognize that he's in charge, that he's sovereign God, but he doesn't control my life. He has given each and every one of us the blessing to choose or the blessing to dismiss him. But he will not control us. He invites us and he gives us an opportunity. I'm not going to go through every scripture here, but as you read through the book of Habakkuk, it's only 3 chapters, so it wouldn't take long to go through it. But as you read through here, you see back and forth where Habakkuk and God are having this conversation, and they're talking. And basically, Habakkuk is recognizing, he's seeing what's going on, and he's understanding that they are facing a crisis. This is a moment where he sees what is happening. He's not dismissing it, he's recognizing it. And he's saying, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to help us? Sometimes when we face crisis or we face questions, some people even call it a crisis of faith. We're just not sure. Sometimes what happens is we withdraw and we pull away. But what we need to do is what Habakkuk is doing, and we need to go to God with our questions. We need to go to him and say, God, what's going on? Are you hearing? Are you working? Are you doing something? Why? Why? I've asked God why a lot. Why? He doesn't always answer. And that's hard. That's really, really hard. But here, God continuously answers Habakkuk's questions to where are you? Why is this happening? What are you going to do? And God talks to him, and he tells him that he wants him to write the vision down. He wants him to write down what he's saying, and he wants to share it because he's saying, I'm going to do a work that is so great that people are only going to know that it was me. And that was because people were turned so far from the heart of God that it could only be God that intervened, because it certainly wasn't the behavior of the people. As you work your way through the book, there's woes that God sends out. Woes to the wicked. And basically, he's talking about the enemy that's going to come in. And he's talking about in chapter 2, verse 9, it says, woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. What he's talking about is the greedy man. Woe to him. Verse 12, he says, woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed. Here he's talking about the violent man. In verse 15, it says, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor. He's talking about the drunk man. In verse 19, it says, woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. Here he's speaking to the idolater, the one who's working to replace God. And the prophet is hearing the warnings. He's hearing all of these things that the Lord is saying. There's a lot of words in here that describe everything. And as you look at that, you see the response. In chapter 3, verse 2, it says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Here he is not saying, Lord, revive us. Revive my work. He's saying, revive your work. Because ultimately, in the end, it's not what we do or what we don't do, but it's the work that he's desiring to do. That's what's going to stand. That is what will be sustained. His prayer is for revival. He had seen it before, and he desired to see it again. And he understood it wasn't going to come out of man. It wasn't going to come out of his efforts. It wasn't going to come out of the effort of the people. The only place that it could come from is from God. The only place. So as you continue on through here, he then turns from his prayer to praise, and he begins to worship God and talk about how great he is. He's recognizing the character of God. He's recognizing all that he is. And then you come down into chapter 3, verse 16. And he says, "When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, through the labor of the olive, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls." What is he talking about here? He's talking about an economic collapse. He's talking about failure. He's talking about everything falling to pieces around him. He's talking about famine. He's saying all these things are going to happen, and I'm afraid, and I'm unsure, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to hold things together. But then verse 18 says, "Yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord." He's making a choice. He's saying, "I will joy in the God of my salvation. My joy is not cultivated out of my circumstances." Thank God for that. But how hard is that? Because sometimes the circumstances of life are not very fun. They don't put smiles on our faces. They give us grit and determination, and we dig in and we're trying to find out. Sometimes that why keeps popping up. We can't figure out what is happening, but we sure want to know why it's happening. Did you know that's perfectly normal? God wired your brain to ask the question, why? Now, why did he do that? He did that so that your brain could keep your body safe. Your brain is wired for safety. And when things happen that don't feel safe, we have questions. And we want resolution. Right? Or just me. The truth of the matter is, we have to come to a place where we're willing to surrender the why. Or we have to say, "I don't understand this. I don't like this. I don't like these circumstances, but I know you're God, and I know you're sovereign, and I know you're in charge, and I'm going to open my hand, and I'm going to say, Lord, even if I don't why, I know who I can turn to. I know what is truth, and I know where to go." That's what we have to do. But sometimes we don't want to let go. We want to know, why is this happening? My dad always had this saying, and I hated it growing up. Life's not fair. We're not talking about what's fair. We're talking about what is. Right? Oh, I hated that. I still hate that. And there are times. There are times when life just happens. Diagnosis come through. Loss. Grief. Disappointments. Relationship struggles. All kinds of things that happen. Why? Why is this happening? Why would you allow this to happen? And yes, we have questions, but maybe the question should be, what can you redeem out of this? That's a complete surrender, because we have to let go of everything that we wanted, to say, Lord, what do you want? What are you after? Because he's sovereign. He's God. He's creator. We have to keep him in charge. I've had this conversation with my son and talking about choice. And it's really hard to talk about choice when I'm talking about your choices. But it's really easy when it's my choice. I don't want you to mess with my choice. But I don't like your choice. So you need to change it. And God needs to change it. But don't mess with me. Don't mess with my choices. How often do we do that? God, why won't you stop this? God, why don't you change that? God, why do you allow him? Why do you allow her? And we're looking to God and we're saying, why don't you fix it? Habakkuk chose to recognize in this moment, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in who he is. I will rejoice in the fact that he is with me. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, verse 19 says, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Jane, can you put up the King James Version of that verse? The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. And it ends to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. But the focus of this that I just cannot get away from is the hinds' feet. Do you know what the hinds' feet are? The hinds' feet is speaking to the ability of the female deer to be able to take a step, the exact same step that she takes with her front legs, she can take with her back legs. That's how precise that it is. She doesn't miss an inch. Like, Jess, why are you talking about deer walking? Listen, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. What does that mean? That means that he is going to make me so stable that it doesn't matter what's going on around me, that I can run and never miss a step. I can run from danger, and I can, this is the difference, okay? We're not running to run away. We're running to our Savior. We're running to the high place where he is, where he will bring us out of danger. Well, he will bring us up into the high place with him. But to get there is really, really hard. How many hunters have seen the deer run? How many drivers have seen the deer run? My son first got his license and we're driving in the country and we turn off a road and it's kind of foggy. We're like, you should probably use your brights here. That might help. It's going to be a little hard. He turned his brights on and there was a huge buck. Literally, like from here to the sanctuary doors, just standing there. And then it left. Thankfully. Last week I was driving and there was several deer. And you never know which way are they going to run. Am I going to hit them? Are they going to hit me? What are we doing? What's happening? But to watch them run and to see them, you know, it's so hard to describe it. But to see the way that they run, they don't run to get away. No, they're like running, right? I can't gallop, you know. I'm not a deer and I'm not getting on all four, okay? So you got to help me with your imagination here. But just think about it, okay? Sometimes we're going through life, and it's hard, and it's heavy. And I get that. And God sees that, and he understands that. But this is what he's saying here, is that, you know what? Jess, I know it's hard, but I'm going to make you to have hot feet. That means when the struggle is here, you can go. It's not trudgingly, and it's just hard, and it's life, and I don't know what to do, and God loves me, and he said he was here, but I'm just not feeling it. How many times do we do that? We're saved, but we're doubting, does he really love me? Why would he do this? And he's saying, I want to give you hinds feet. That means I want you to be able to prance through life. Prance. Do you think of someone frowning when you heard the word prance? Anybody want to demonstrate it for me? Because I don't want to do it. I don't know how to do it. I'll just admit it. But prancing. Prancing is so much different than trudging. And how often do we trudge through life? And God is saying, I don't want you to trudge through life. I want you to do this with abundance. I want you to do this with joy. I want you to do this not out of yourself, but out of who I am. And he gives us his spirit. Let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound, that you may prance in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by me, not by my circumstances, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we do this. No matter what life circumstances are, we can have joy. We can have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Right, Grandma? We just had this conversation yesterday. I have peace. I don't understand the diagnosis. I don't understand what this means. I don't understand the medical emergency, but I have peace. Situations, circumstances will come and circumstances will go. And the thing about life, as Brother Lomax says, life be life, and it's become very popular around our house since Pastor mentioned it. Life be life, and it's always going to be life, and as long as we're breathing. But we have a place, a high place that we can go. But sometimes getting there is the rocky and the rough terrain. And we're thinking, how come? Why can't it be easier? Why? Because of the wilderness, Brandon. Because of the wilderness. There's a depth that comes to us in the wilderness, not because of who we are, but because we begin to see who he is. We begin to see the sovereignty of who he is. We begin to understand that my ways are not his ways. My ideas are really low compared to his. But yet we still struggle with the why. Why? Why, God? Or maybe it's the question, why can't I do what I know to do? Why? This is supposed to be the new life that the scripture speaks of, the new man that he says that I will become. But it takes time, and it's a process. And sometimes we get impatient, and we give up. It took us years to mess up that relationship. It took us years to get into debt. It took us years of poor choices. And we are mad because God doesn't offer us an instant fix. Why won't you change this? I just imagine him looking and saying, you want me to change it, Jess? Why don't you change something? But you see, the only change I have to make is the change of my direction. Where am I pointing? Where am I going? Who am I looking at? What am I looking at? I love to play volleyball. I coach some of you in volleyball. Cecily, where does the ball go when you serve? Over the net? I knew you were going to say that. Brittany, where does the ball go when you serve? What? You don't know. Amara, where does the ball go when you serve? To his zone. How does it get there? With the serve. Okay. That's true. They're all right. They're not wrong. But the placement of the ball is determined not by the zone, not where I'm looking, but Brittany's got it now, and she said it's by your feet. Where are my feet pointed? Because I can be looking over here and wanting the ball to go, and I'm all awkwardly doing another thing, and the ball is not going to go that way. You understand that? How many pickleballers do we have out there? Oh, not as many as I thought. I like pickleball too. My brother introduced it to me last year. And it was like, hey, you want to play this game? Yeah, I've heard about this game. We've talked about it. Let's try it. So I went on YouTube to learn about the kitchen and all the points and how this works. Did a little research. Like, okay, let's go play the game. And so we got there in the morning, and we're like all excited, and there's all these people on the court, all these older people on the court, and they are like owning the court. And we're looking at them, and we're like, okay, that's okay. We're learning the game. And so we're really slowly volleying the ball and figuring things out. And we're like, hopefully they don't ask us to play doubles because we don't know how to play this game. And they'll certainly show us up. But my brother was really struggling with his serve. And it was because of where his feet were pointed. He was really struggling. And so he would serve, but he wouldn't move. And because he wouldn't move and step into it, the ball was going everywhere but where it should. And I was like, okay, it's been a long time since I was in high school. It's been a long time since I've coached, but I understand we just got to get this set. Because we can't enjoy a game of pickleball if he can't serve the ball and get it to me. It's never going to happen. So we took a few minutes out, and we worked on his serve. And I was like, Andrew, you have to look at your feet. You got to point your feet where you want to go, and you got to step into that serve. You can do this. So we picked an imaginary spot on the wall, and we spent 10 minutes, and guess what? Andrew's a pretty good serve now. Don't tell him I think he's better than me. He just might be. But taking the time out and setting himself right helped us to be able to enjoy many more games of pickleball. Now, life is a lot more serious than the game of pickleball, but sometimes we give more seriousness to the efforts of the sports that we want to play than to our soul care. Because it's not working. And it's too hard. And why is it so hard? God is love, and God is joy, and God is peace. And why should this happen? Because he's got to undo our thinking. He's got to transform us out of our stuck ways. There's a little bit of, you know, you got to tear it up before you can get it better. I tore up my kitchen. Half my kitchen, because my husband was smarter than me. Half my kitchen is torn up, and it is a mess all the time. Yesterday, I sent out a couple of text messages, and I was joking around about how I cooked breakfast on the right side of the stove, and the left side is for all my tools, and all the stuff was just piling up as I was working, and I was like, whoa, this is taking over my life. How many times does that happen for us? All the things. Life be lifin'. It's just happening. Why, God? Why? We may not get the answer to why, but there's a what we can do. We can set him before us, just like Habakkuk did. Habakkuk said, you know what? I know right now we're in decline. We're not in revival. We're pulling away from God, but I remember when, and I know who God is, and I know we're not in this situation because he changed. We're not in this situation because he left. We're here because we made some bad choices. We're here because we need help. It's hard to admit that we've made some bad choices. It's hard to admit that we're not perfect. It's hard when we stumble and we trip. We stub our toes on the ladders that our wife left out. It's hard. But he wants to help us. He wants to give us hinds feet. He wants to point our feet in the direction that we should go. We have to yield. And we have to say, okay, God, your ways are better. Your ways are higher. Maybe you might know a thing or two more than me. And maybe I should listen. So we come into church, and we come here on Sundays. We start out our week in church on Sundays because God's a priority in our life, right? But sometimes we compartmentalize Sundays. Sunday is the day that I pray. Sunday is the day that I read the Bible. When the pastor reads it to me, Sunday is the day. And then the rest of our life, what do we do with it? What do we do? Where are our feet pointing? What life circumstances have our attention? We have to point our feet in the right direction. We have to be purposeful. We have to be intentional about going to God. Now, being intentional doesn't mean that it takes all your time. That's the cool thing about God. He's not saying, Casey, I want every minute of every day. Could you imagine that and raising four kids? It's not that way, is it? What's it like? Little bits. Little bits. You think about it, and you have friends. How many of you have friends? Oh, come on. Celebrate your friends. If you don't have a friend, I want to be your friend. I collect them. Friends, can you imagine if you spent time with your best friend once a week? How many of you have spouses? How many of you want spouses? Just checking. There were a few married hands that stayed up, so kudos to you. That's how you keep a good marriage. You want it. Good job. But just think about this. The depth of relationship. How is it determined? It's little by little. It's conversation by conversation by conversation by conversation. That's how we develop relationships. That's how we develop friendships. And that's really all it takes to develop a relationship with Jesus. We call that conversation prayer. Prayer. I read this from Chris Hodges in the book Pray First. He said, prayer is the difference between the best that you can do and the best God can do. And what if, before we did anything, we prayed first? What if? What if? Because by praying first, we're setting our feet straight. And we're saying, hey, I know you're God. I know you're sovereign. I know you're on the throne. I know you're in control. I know you are my provider. And when we can get our feet set straight and our focus where it needs to be, he can begin to speak to us. He can begin to help us. He can begin to correct the things that need to change, the shift that we need to make. Do you know the easiest way to grow distant from God is to do nothing? Nothing. And then do it again the next day. And the next day. And that drift becomes a gap in just a matter of a few days. Because what happens is we fill it with a lot of other things, a lot of distractions, a lot of life. But we have to be deliberate about where we're setting our feet. And we have to align ourselves in prayer, in conversation, in talking with God. You know, there are some days when it's just like, man, I'm going to pray. And there are other days I'm like, okay, Jesus, we got lots to do. Let's go. And I don't know why, but it's a habit that I noticed this week, probably from studying this out. But every time I get in the shower, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I've developed that shower habit because I'm really thankful for warm water. I don't like cold showers. And I was like, you know what? If I'm thankful, I should tell him. Because there's a lot of people who don't have that. And then it became, okay, I'm in my truck. Thank you, Lord, for this truck that I'm still paying for. But thank you for this truck that's going to get me to work. Thank you for the job that I have. Thank you for the way that you take care of me. Because it's not all about me and what I do, but it's about what he's doing as we go. As we go. We don't stop and just do God on Sundays. It's every single day. And we do that through every single conversation. So if you're struggling and you're like, you know what? I have no idea how to pray. This is really awkward. I'm talking to someone that I can't see. I've never done this before. And you're really struggling. Start small. Start small. Don't try to pray the same prayers as the other person that you know. I was so intimidated to pray. It's not her fault. It's totally my fault with my mom. And a lot of you know her, and you can understand. I felt like I couldn't measure up. And then I became a snarky teenager, and I didn't want to hear it, and so I would pillow up. Yep, that was me. But sometimes we struggle because we're trying so hard to do it Casey's way.
We're trying so hard to do it Brooke's way. We're trying so hard to do it Ava's way. And God's saying, just do it my way. Just do it my way. Just be who I created you to be. And you can have conversations. The scriptures tell us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we're on our knees 24/7. That means as we're going, we're talking to him. Sometimes there's a lot to do. And sometimes here at church, it'll be like, you know what? I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And I'm like, okay, Jesus, here we go. And as I'm cutting open your tithe envelopes, I'm praying for you. And I'm thinking about you. And I'm like, Lord, you see where they're at. You know their needs. If I'm in here vacuuming, Lord, you know who made this mess. That's how you keep a good attitude. That's how you do it, right? Versus, oh my goodness, I can't believe these people, you know. But how often do we go that route? Versus finding the joy of the Lord in what we do. That's what he wants to give us. He wants us to prance through life. But we get to choose. We get to choose. Are we going to talk to him? Are we going to invite him in? Are we going to just do it our way? We get a choice. But as you go, you can talk to him. When you study the Bible, to some of you, this is a brand new book, and you're like, what in the world? When am I ever going to finish this book? Don't worry about that. Just open it. Lord, what are you saying here? If you don't know where to start, I would encourage you to start in the book of Proverbs, because that's the kind of book you can take a verse and get a lot out of that little nugget. Versus being like, what on earth is Habakkuk saying here, and I got to back up, and I got to see, and I got to understand. You don't have to. You just have to open your mind and open your heart to say, Lord, this is your word. Why did you choose to put these words here, and what do you want me to see? How can I see you better? That's why we read our Bible, is so that we can see him better, so that he can point our feet in the direction we need to go. We get a choice. We get to choose. We can trudge through life and we can be grumpy, or we can look to him and say, Lord, I want to prance. When you learn, come teach me. Teach me how to prance. If you see me galloping, I might be practicing my prance. I don't know. It's a good thing there's only three of us here during the week, because I can prance in the fellowship hall and Pastor will never know. But just think about it. Just think about it. We get to choose where we fix our focus. Why, God? Or why not, God? We get a choice. Stand with me this morning. The musicians can come. God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love that it will take a whole lifetime for us to understand. Do you know the phrase FOMO? Do you know the phrase JOMO? JOMO is the joy of missing out. Because some people are afraid of missing out, and some people are like, I missed out. I'm good. But I came across something new in my studying, and it was FIPPO. Is that right? Flippo. Flippo. Forgetting the things that were. Forgetting what was and pressing on. Forgetting what was and pressing on and who he wants me to become. The enemy wants you to think that you stumbled and you tripped and you're out of alignment and you're pointing the wrong way and your serves are not hitting the mark. You're not getting in the zone. And he wants to keep you from going where God wants you to go. But you get to choose, and you get to say, you know what? You're right. I messed up. And his grace will be poured out on you, and his love and his mercy. And you will say, you know what? His mercies are new every morning. He gives me an opportunity to continue to walk with him. Listen, it would be much better to stumble and trip and walk into heaven with bloodied knees from battling your way there than to walk into hell in one piece. Don't let the enemy tell you that because you make mistakes, you're not worthy. He makes you worthy. He redeems our mistakes. He doesn't leave us where we're at. He wants to draw us to something more. He wants to give us hinds feet that help us to go through life with the joy of the Lord. It's not in your strength. It's not in your skill. It's all by His Spirit. It's all because of who He is that we can do any of it. Aren't you thankful for a God who loved you that much? He said, I'm not going to leave you here to do it alone. I'm not just going to be with you. I'm going to dwell in you. That's what He wants. That's what He wants. And we get that when we repent. When we repent and we turn away and we realign ourselves to His ways. When we're baptized in Jesus' name, because Jesus is the one who paid it all. Jesus is the one who came and lived and died a perfect sacrifice. He struggled here on earth for you and you and you and you. And He died and paid the price so that you could spend eternity with Him. He loves you that much. He is for you. He wants to see you living abundantly. It's not based on your circumstances. No matter the circumstances, you can find joy and you can find hope and you can live life abundantly. You choose where your feet are pointed. But if you will point them in the right direction, He will make the crooked path straight. He will make the crooked path straight. The pressure's off if you put it in the right place and give it to Him. I invite you to come this morning. We have this front area, as Pastor said, this is designed this way. So there's an opportunity for you to step forward and to respond to what God is saying to you in this moment. If you want joy, unspeakable joy, if you want peace that passes all understanding, come on. He's for you. He wants to give it to you. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It's a brand new day. His mercies are new every morning. He desires to fill you. If you have not received the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, you could say those interchangeably. If you haven't received it, He wants to give it to you this morning. And if you've got it, then I encourage you to get your praise on this morning and to give it back to Him and to remember who He is and what He's doing. He's here. He's for you. And He desires to be with you. In Jesus' name.